Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking with Walter Russell Mead, Hudson Institute Distinguished Fellow, Professor of Foreign Affairs at Bard College, and Wall Street Journal Global View columnist, writing up some great things. Walter, on your piece, A World Without American Deterrence, Going Around the World, of course, this past week, Putin met with Xi. Russia and North Korea have a flourishing trade, you're writing. And, of course, you say more ominously, China's pressure on Taiwan continues to grow. And all these things you say, why are so many actors challenging American power in so many parts of the world? Because the U.S. is losing its power to deter. Can you expand on that?
Well, sure. You know, during the Cold War, our whole NATO strategy was to say to the Soviet Union, you got to stop where you are. You know, you can't go into, you've got Poland and East Germany, you can't attack West Germany, can't attack the city of Berlin. And our nuclear deterrent and the presence of our troops was all about preventing them from expanding their empire. The trouble is now you look at, say, Vladimir Putin, and President Biden said, don't invade Ukraine. Putin invaded Ukraine. And he got away with it. He got away with it in 2014 with Obama. And while it's a very ugly war now, I think Putin still feels he's on a path to some kind of victory in Ukraine today. So we're saying to China, don't attack Taiwan. Will they also at some point say, we just don't care what you say. We think we can do it, and we're going to give it a try. Obviously, what we've seen in the Middle East is very much related to a failure of deterrence. And the trouble is, again, that it started small back in 2008 when George W. Bush was president. Putin attacked Georgia, did not get effective pushback. 2014, he attacks Ukraine. Then you see China builds these little islands in the South China Sea. We said, don't do that. That's wrong. And they said, oh, don't worry. We're not going to militarize them. We basically don't do much. And then they militarize them. They put airports on them and set them up as facilities. So we simply are letting these people kind of creep ahead. And each time they see, they're like birds, you know, watching a scarecrow. And at first they're scared of the scarecrow, but then they notice, I just peck a little grain here and the scarecrow doesn't move. After a while, the birds lose their fear and they fly right into the cornfield.
What should we do? What should have been done? You know, we talk about red lines, but we don't implement red lines, do we?
Well, that was, you know, President Obama thought that it was a great, great historic moment when he, instead of enforcing the red line on Syria about chemical warfare, he actually let Russia be the one to manage everything. He helped turn Syria over to Putin. And thought to himself, I'm doing something brilliant. I'm doing something historic. I'm smarter than those stupid other people. It was a mistake. And, you know, people, you know, this doesn't mean, by the way, that, you know, the answer to everything is a bomb or an invasion, because deterrence is also about people think you're intelligent in the way you use, don't use force, the way you design your policies. So deterrence is, I say, it's respect for your power, for your will, and for your wisdom. And I would say on all three lines, we have been, we've been kind of in decline, and the folks out there are watching.
Have you thought much about the Taiwanese threat from China? I mean, if they invade Taiwan, what happens? What do we have to do?
Well, listen, I think the first thing that people don't understand about this, I visited Taiwan last year, and I'm just back from a trip to our base at Pearl Harbor and then on to Japan and South Korea to look and see what's going on out there. And one thing is people don't understand, and, you know, in your world of financial markets, Larry, an invasion of Taiwan would be so much bigger than the war in Ukraine. A huge percentage of world shipping goes through the Strait of Taiwan and the South China Sea. If that becomes a military zone, countries like South Korea and Japan won't be able to import the fuel. China will be largely cut off from the world economy. You'll see incredible disruptions in supply chains. You will see gyrations in financial markets like we haven't seen since the World War II and the Great Depression. This is really a big deal.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
And in that zone, I mean, Japan doesn't much like China. India doesn't look much like China. South Korea doesn't much like China. You think they would help us? Would they fight back?
Well, I think, you know, they are waking up. Japan is the most awoke. The South Koreans, of course, have got two problems, because if China attacked Taiwan, that cuts them off by sea. It also means that we are focused on China, but the South Koreans have North Korea sitting right on top of them. And they're worried that the North Koreans, as well they might, would take advantage and take an opportunity to attack from the north.
Of course,
so it's a huge mess out there.
I was just going to say, Taiwan being one of the semiconductor capitals of the world, very, very important.
That's right. That's right. It would, I mean, but the disruptions go well beyond that. But absolutely, the semiconductors are to our economy what sort of coal and steel were to the industrial age. And we lose these cutting edge facilities in Taiwan, either because they're destroyed or there's a war, the Chinese capture them. We're in big trouble.
And Walter, in the last minute, can you tell us how strong is North Korea? You mentioned in your piece that Russia and North Korea trade is flourishing. How strong is North Korea?
Well, North Korea can't feed its own people, but it can build nuclear weapons, and it's been building more and better ones. And it has better delivery capabilities than ever before. So North Korea is a completely militarized state, and its ties with Russia are now growing. We can, for a long time, we had, you know, the UN had sanctions on North Korea. These days, neither Russia nor China seems to care very much about those sanctions.
Walter Russell Mead from the Hudson Institute, Bard College, Wall Street Journal. Thank you, Walter. Look forward to talking some more. Folks, we'll take a break. On the other side of the break, Senator Kevin Cramer is going to talk about sanctions and Venezuela.